Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, send your Holy Spirit to deepen our faith in Christ, so that we may live by daily repentance and look up in faith to your Son. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Lent is a somber time, a time for sincerity. This is reflected in our worship. This time of the year, we concentrate on repentance, an underlying theme in most of the sermons during this season. You may have also noticed that the Alleluias have disappeared in our services. This reflects a temporary laying aside of God's kingdom that has already come here on earth to emphasize our spiritual journey toward the second coming and our future life in heaven. We no longer sing with the heavenly choir of angels. Instead, we acknowledge our sins and practice repentance so that soon we may again have the privilege of worshiping God as the angels do. This sincerity not only shows up in our worship services, but may manifest itself in your personal life as well. A lot of people give something up for Lent. It may be food or drink. Some people actually give things away. Some commit to be in the Word. Whatever you choose, Lent is a time of refocus, a season of denial. But let's face the truth. Christ is risen. Our Savior is alive. We are on a journey toward eternity with Him. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans, God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. Yes, we do repent. Yes, we must be sincere, for God searches our hearts. You shall be holy, 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 and not just do external things. That being said, Lenten repentance is done with confidence that God forgives you and that those that look up to Him can look up to Him in confidence. We know the end of the story. We know that Christ wins the war with sin, the devil, and that His atoning sacrifice and His death on the cross and His victorious rising from the dead on the third day are all things that has bought us eternal life. We know that He sits at the right hand of God, waiting patiently for the fullness of time. He hasn't forgotten us. We can be confident that He is interceding for us. We can be confident that He is coming back for the faithful to take us up to heaven to live with Him for eternity. The psalmist writes, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. It is in this spirit of heartfelt repentance and confidence that we look up to Him. Look up to Him. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should have eternal life. Here Jesus is referring to the story of the bronze serpent in Numbers 21, our Old Testament lesson from today. You may have heard it before, or this morning may be the first time, but it seems like the Israelites were in a complaining mood again, which history shows to be their nature, and the Lord has just had enough. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many of them died. Can you imagine what it must have been like? The Israelite people looking down and seeing snakes swarming all over the camp, sent by the Lord. There is no getting away. No running, no jumping, no hiding was ever going to save them. Many of the Israelites were bitten, and many of them died. You know, this kind of reminds me of some of the Indiana Jones movies. In the Raiders of the Lost Ark film, Indiana is in trouble, which is pretty typical for Indiana Jones. And he finds himself in the bottom of a pit, plump full of snakes. Indiana isn't a snake lover. And some of you may know that I'm not a snake lover either. In fact, in my opinion, the only good snake is a dead snake. If a snake ever happens to find its way into my yard, I head to the shed for a shovel, and I dispatch it as quickly as I can. And the only reason that I use a shovel is that I'd get arrested for discharging a firearm in town. I could not imagine finding myself in a pit full of snakes like Indiana Jones did. or like the Israelites whose camp had become infested with them. But I can tell you there's not enough shovels or shotgun shells in the world to make me feel safe. But the snakes served a purpose. The swarm of snakes sent by the Lord helps the Israelites realize that they have sinned. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take the serpents away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Earlier, they were all about bad-mouthing Moses and God. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food and there's no water, and we loathe this worthless food." But see how quickly their courage fails them. See how quickly their brazenness fades when the snakes are swarming all around their feet. Surely their complaints about food and water seem trivial at the prospect of death by snake bite. Looking down and realizing their sin, seeing their death upon them, where is the Israelites' confidence now? You know, we are a lot like the Israelites. We have it pretty good in general, but then something we don't like happens. It doesn't take long and we're griping just like they did, looking down, being depressed because we have it so rough. How many times are you and I downcast because of sin? Actually, every time we are downcast, it is because of sin. Let's say you have some problem that's getting you down. It could be the world and its craziness. It could be work with its incessant demands. It could be your health. It could be your family. It could even be your spouse. But something is bothering you to the point that you are depressed or discouraged. Well, it may even be you. Well, in fact, it is you. You may be thinking, "Now hold on, Pastor. All this is not my fault." Well, the reality is that it is your fault. It is the sin inside of you causing this. Let's think about what the Bible teaches us about sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, sin came into the whole world. One bad apple spoiled the whole bushel. Or as the Bible says, one trespass led to condemnation for all men. It's from Romans chapter 5. So humanity is fallen, creation is defiled, and we live in a broken, sinful world. You may not have directly caused whatever is making you downcast, but our sinful humanity has brought this on every one of us. And as hard as we try to change it, this is the futile condition that we live in. Like Indiana Jones in a pit full of snakes without his rope, we are stuck. We have been bitten by the snake, and we don't have the power or the ability to change our situation. But the good news for today is that we don't have to. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if the serpent bit anyone, he would look at it and at the bronze serpent and live. Jesus reminds us that when Moses raised up the bronze serpent, everyone looked up. Everyone who was downcast looked up at that pole and was saved from death. Jesus tells us that that action pointed ahead to himself. He would be raised up on the cross so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We can only imagine how earnestly the Israelites looked up at the bronze serpent in hopes of living. With just as much earnestness, with just as much desperation for life, for eternal life, we lift our eyes up to Jesus. "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Only when we look up with eyes of faith are we saved. That's why Paul says in today's epistle, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no man can boast." We can't get out of the pit of snakes. We are dead in our sin. Our own works? Dead people don't have works. But God comes to us through the work of the Holy Spirit. He quickens our soul. He makes us alive again. Through the water and the word, he raises us up to new life. He rescues us from the pit of despair through the means of grace. He strengthens us, renews us, and equips us to look up to Him where we receive forgiveness. We look up to Him with the hope of life. So today we continue our journey homeward as God calls us to our heavenly home. There are many pitfalls to watch out for, but don't look down. Look up. It seems counterintuitive to look down or look up so you don't stumble. But look up we must, for this life, this week, is going to be a battle between the two, between looking down, being downcast, and looking up in hope. That's just the way it is. We hear great uplifting things on Sunday, but things get us down during the week. This Lent, we're focusing on God calling us to our true home in heaven. When you go on a trip, you just can't take everything with you. But I want you to remember from today's sermon and from our worship service is to leave downcast behind. Look up in faith to Jesus. So today I'm going to ask you to do a little something different during communion. We, with reverence and awe, typically keep our heads bowed before the Lord when we receive His body and His blood, in with and under the bread and the wine. We keep our heads bowed when we receive a blessing. But today I want you to look up, not to see myself or the elders, but to see Jesus. Matthew 17:8 reads of the disciples at the Transfiguration. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. That's what I want you to do. I want you to lift up your eyes and see no one but Jesus only. Lift up your heart and in faith see His body and His blood. Lift up your eyes to the cross and see the red stained glass at the feet, at the hands where the nails pierced Him. See the red stained glass in the middle and the torn flesh of His back where it bled into the wood. See His death. See His sacrifice. See your hope. Look up and see the victory won for you. Look up and see eternal life. It is by looking up that we avoid the snakes, the snake, and live to the honor and the glory of the one that calls us home to our salvation. Look up to Him. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your eyes lifted up. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.